Now hear the holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
So after our little diversion into Luke last week, we return this week to the Gospel according to St. John. And if you'll permit me just a little bit of time to geek out about John and the setting of our text today, we'll then explore the way that this passage challenges us with three questions. Where are we going? What are we listening to? And how are we measuring life? But first, a little bit of geek. One of the ways that we can approach John's gospel is to divide it roughly in half. The first half might be called the Book of Signs, John 1 through about John 12. And in this section, John details seven signs, beginning with Jesus turning water into wine in Cana and moving through to Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead in Bethany, just before the transition to the second half of John's Gospel, the Book of Glory, that details the last week in Jerusalem and the resurrection. Our text this week falls into this Book of Signs. And the accounts of the signs are roughly structured around a narrative design that looks at sign, dialogue, and discourse. That is, John tells us what Jesus does, the sign. And then he records the response of the people around Jesus, the people who saw it, the people who have questions. And this is the dialogue. And finally, he records the way that Jesus teaches the lesson of the sign, the discourse. So we see sign, dialogue, discourse. And John tells us that he records each of these signs so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God, and that by believing we may have life in his name. Another way we might approach John is to look at the names Jesus gives himself in the seven I Am statements. John's pretty symbolic, and he takes seven very seriously, so seven signs and seven I Am statements. Jesus says during the Gospel of John, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection of the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine, and you are the branches." Our text this week offers us an intersection between these two approaches. Our reading marks the beginning of the discourse, the teaching of Jesus, after healing the man born blind, which we encountered about 6 weeks ago on the fourth Sunday in Lent. March 22nd seems like a long time ago. But if you'll recall, first the sign. The disciples asked Jesus about a man born blind. Who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus points to the glorious work of God by healing the man, the sign. And then there's the dialogue, this section where the man returns to the community no longer blind, and there's much discussion about whether the healing was even a good thing. Jesus then seeks out the man and reveals himself as the Christ, the anointed, the coming Messiah of Israel. And we conclude the dialogue session with the Pharisees asking, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" And now we come to the discourse. Our passage today begins the discourse as Jesus teaches around the meaning of this sign of healing. And he moves from simply healing the physical blindness of this man to healing the spiritual blindness of the world. And we're challenged to ask ourselves, surely we are not blind, are we? We ask, where are we going? What are we listening to? And how are we measuring life? First, where are we going? Are we going the way of the kingdom or the way of the world? In one of the I Am statements, Jesus tells us that he is the door to the sheepfold. All of those who enter another way are thieves and robbers. They cannot restore the sight of those who are blind. They take, they burden, they oppress, but they do not heal. They respond to life and love with hate and fear. I wonder at times, are we entering through the door or just banging our heads against the wall? I wonder what we are trusting. And if you're like me, you might also feel a little bit uncomfortable with the exclusiveness of this statement that Jesus makes. If you do not enter through me, you are not welcome. I've wrestled with this quite a bit this week. In my wrestling, I recognize two things. First, it is Jesus, not me, who is the door. It is Jesus, not the church, who is the door. It is Jesus, not any doctrine or tradition or liturgy or music or rules of acceptable behavior or anything else that we might be tempted to make the door. It is Jesus. And this led me to the second observation. Even though this statement by Jesus might seem judgmental or exclusionary, I'm forced to consider that if good and evil do exist, there must be a way to tell the difference. To judge right from wrong. Just as I am not the door, I am not that judge. Jesus, the Christ, the very Son of God, is the only one suited to guide us in the way that is good, as opposed to the way that is evil. He is the door into the kingdom of God. That is, he is the way to life. Love. So I ask, who are we listening to? Are we hearing the call of the shepherd, the call to love? Are we following the shepherd, knowing his voice, knowing this voice of the shepherd? This is beyond a call to any specific behavior in any given situation. It's ultimately the call to discern between selfish and loving. We've been in a very disruptive and difficult time. And I think even as we look forward, we're moving into a time that's even more uncertain and probably even more difficult. So we move forward to reopening our society. And as we listen to and join into the conversations, the discussions, the debates on when and how this should happen, when and how we should reopen, I pray that we will be loving. This isn't a loving that's about using nice words and feeling contempt in our heart. It's a loving that's about placing the needs of those around us above our own, seeking the good of the other as we consider the gathering in public, as we consider wearing face masks or returning to work. Will our conversation be led with, I want? Or will we guide ourselves by the concern for the health and well-being of all who are impacted by our individual and corporate decisions? Will we follow the leading of love or the leading of self? Also, as we move back into whatever normal might look like in the coming weeks and months, we'll be challenged to ask, how are we measuring life? Jesus tells us that he came so that we might have life and have it abundantly. How do we measure this abundance that Jesus promises? Is it an abundance of money or food or power or influence, popularity or any other possession or worldly good? If we try to measure these, we will never recognize an abundance. We'll come to a measurement and realize that we could have more. We'll begin to desire more, to treasure ourselves and to measure ourselves against how much more we can acquire. We hoard, realizing that if I give anything away, I will have less. This is not abundance. This is the poverty of the rich. Living a life abundantly must be graced with love. We measure abundance as having enough to give. And this is the strangeness of God's economy. Abundance grows as we give. As we give love, there is more love, not less. As we give joy, there is more joy and not less. As we give life, there is more life and not less. The things we receive in order to have something to give, not so that we can selfishly be more of anything, more comfortable, more secure, more popular, more powerful. This is the falsehood of the so-called prosperity gospel, the gospel that is centered in I. The true gospel is discerned in the abundance of giving one to another. I invite you to spend some time this week prayerfully considering these three questions. Where are we going? Are we going through the door into the sheepfold of the kingdom? Or are we going somewhere else? Are we going to Jesus or somewhere else to discern the good way? What are we listening to? Are we listening to the Good Shepherd? Are we listening to the call of love? Are we listening call of self? And how are we measuring life? Are we measuring by what we get and keep? Or are we measuring by what we give to others? I pray that you will hear the voice of the shepherd as he calls you by name and follow into life abundant. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.